Today we're making an old-school DNB Respace sequence in Ableton Live 12, and the mission is simple: get that classic dark, rolling energy without smashing your headroom to pieces. This is one of those sounds that instantly says rave, jungle, rollers, dark sigh. But the trick is, the Reese should feel huge without taking over the whole mix. In drum and bass, that balance is everything. If the bass is too full range, the kick gets crowded, the snare loses its snap, and the whole drop starts feeling muddy instead of powerful. So think of this lesson as two things happening at once. First, we're building a bass sound with real movement. Second, we're arranging and automating it like a performance instrument, not just a stack synth preset. That's the difference between a loop that sounds okay and a drop that actually slaps. Start with the drums first. Lay down an 8-bar drum loop with kick, snare on 2 and 4, and if you want, add a chopped break or some ghost notes for extra swing. This gives you the pocket the bass has to live in. That part matters a lot, because old-school Reese lines work best when they answer the drums instead of fighting them. A good habit here is to listen to the drums and mentally reserve space for the snare crack. The snare is the anchor in drum and bass. If your bass note lands right on top of it with too much low-mid energy, the groove loses its punch. So before you even sound design anything, get that rhythmic relationship working. Now build the Reese patch. You can use wave-eatable or analog, and keep it simple. Two saw oscillators is a solid starting point. Detune them just a little, something like 5 to 15 cents, so you get that classic moving thickness. If you want a slightly rougher tone, you can use a saw and a slightly detuned pulse. Don't overcomplicate it yet. A lot of old-school Reese character comes from movement, layering, and automation, not from some crazy oscillator trick. After the oscillator section, add an auto filter, a saturator, EQ8, and utility. Keep the filter low pass fairly controlled at first, maybe somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz if you want the synth layer to stay out of the sub lane early on. Add a little saturator drive, just enough to bring out harmonics and bite. Then use utility to make sure the track isn't coming in too hot. This is a really important teacher note. If the source sound is already too loud, every automation move becomes harder to control later. So use clip gain and track fader early. Keep it comfortable. You want headroom from the start, not as an emergency fix at the end. Now split the bass into layers. This is one of the biggest headroom-saving moves you can make. Make one layer for the sub and one layer for the Reese midrange. If you want, you can also add a tiny grit layer, but keep that optional. For the sub, go clean and mono. Use operator, analog, or wave-eatable with a sine wave. Keep it centered with utility, and make sure it stays stable. The sub should be felt more than heard, and it should never wobble around stereo-wise. Keep the note lengths tight too, so the sub doesn't smear into the next beat. For the Reese layer, let it live above the sub. High-pass it with EQ8, usually somewhere around 80 to 100 Hz as a starting point. In a busy mix, that separation is a lifesaver. Now the sub owns the deep foundation, while the Reese owns the motion and attitude. That's how you keep the mix powerful without making the master limiter do all the work. When you balance the layers, aim for a really useful test. You should hear the bass clearly in the midrange, not just feel a giant low-end swell. If you can read the notes and follow the rhythm without the low-end taking over, you're in a great place. Now write a simple bassline. Don't go crazy with note count. Old-school DNB often hits hardest when the phrase is lean and rhythmic. Start with a 1 or 2 bar motif using just a few notes, maybe 3 to 5 notes max. Let the bass answer the drums. Try hitting a note after the snare, or on the end of one, or leaving a gap before beat 4 so the snare can land cleanly. If you're in a key like E minor, you might do something simple like E, then B, then G or F sharp as a passing reply. The actual harmony is less important than the rhythm and the phrasing. In this style, a minimal pattern can feel way heavier than a busy line if the movement is right. Also, keep the note lengths under control. Long bass notes can get sloppy fast in drum and bass unless they're being used very deliberately. Shorter, tighter notes tend to make the groove feel more urgent. Now we get into the fun part. Automation. This is where the Reese becomes a performance, not just a preset. Think in phrases, not parameters. Ask yourself, where does the tension build? Where does the line answer the drums? Where should the bass open up and where should it tighten back down? Start by automating the auto filter cutoff. Open it up during the second half of a phrase, then close it back at the start of the next one. You could sweep from around 150 Hz up to somewhere in the 1.5 to 4K Hz zone, depending on how aggressive you want it. That gives you movement without keeping the sound maxed out all the time. Then automate the saturator drive. Keep the movement subtle, maybe only 1 to 4 dB of change. You don't want to turn it into a constant distortion wall. You want little moments of extra tension, especially at the end of a phrase or during a fill. You can also use tiny utility gain rides, maybe plus or minus 1 or 2 dB, to emphasize a phrase ending or a reply note. But don't use gain rides as your main dynamic tool. The real energy should come from the arrangement and the tone changes. A really nice advanced move is two-stage automation. That means you do a slower filter move over two bars, then add a faster little move on the last beat of bar two. So you get long tension plus short punctuation. That kind of detail feels super musical in DNB. If the live synth feels a little too polite, resample it. This is very much part of the old school and jungle workflow. Record 4 to 8 bars of the Reese movement to audio, then chop the best bits and resequence them. Once it's audio, you can trim, fade, warp carefully if needed, and reprocess it with saturator, autofilter, or even a light drum bus. Resampling is great because it lets you commit to the vibe. It also helps with headroom, because you can shape that audio more predictably instead of endlessly stacking synth processing. If the tone gets boxy, try a small cut around 250 to 450 Hz. If it needs more grime, add a little extra drive, but keep it controlled. Now let's talk stereo discipline, because this is where a lot of bass patches fall apart. Keep the sub mono, always. Let the Reese layer have width if you want, but keep that width above the low end. If you widen the Reese, do it gently and always check in mono. A wide bass can feel massive, but only if the low frequencies stay disciplined. If the low end starts disappearing in mono, that means the stereo information is too facey. A good practical check is to solo the bass group and flip mono on and off. If the tone collapses too much, go back and clean it up. Often the fix is just a better high pass on the mid layer or less width overall. Now place the bass in a proper 8-bar or 16-bar arrangement. Don't just loop the same bar forever. DNB lives on phrasing. Try a setup where bars 1 and 2 are more stripped back, bars 3 and 4 open the filter a bit, bars 5 and 6 bring the full movement, and bars 7 and 8 tighten again for a fill or a transition. You can also make the drums and bass interact more. For example, mute the bass for a half bar before a snare fill, then bring it back brighter and more aggressive. That tiny silence can make the return feel twice as hard. In drum and bass, restraint is often what creates the impact. Another useful move is to automate transition moments. Not every single bar. Save the biggest filter sweeps, distortion bumps, and half bar dropouts for phrase endings, pre-drop tension, and switch ups. If you automate constantly, the whole thing starts feeling flat because nothing special is left. And here's a great production habit. Make quick A/B versions. One dry, one with automation, one resampled. Compare them at the same loudness. That makes it way easier to tell whether your extra processing is helping or just making things louder and messier. As you go, keep an eye on the mix bounce. Don't let the Reese dominate the master. Use the track faders, use utility, and keep the bass group controlled before any master processing. If your master starts feeling pinned, the problem is usually in the bass arrangement or gain staging, not on the master chain itself. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the Reese full range and expect the mix to survive. Don't over-automate the filter every bar. Don't distort the bass before the note pattern is actually working. Don't let stereo width creep into the low end. And definitely don't push the master just because the bass feels weak. If it feels weak, rebalance it. Add controlled harmonics. Fix the source. If you want a darker, heavier vibe, there are a few easy upgrades. Try automating the cutoff down slightly before a snare fill, then snapping it open on the drop restart. Add a tiny amount of pitch movement or oscillator instability to the Reese layer only, not the sub, or layer a very quiet filtered noise texture behind the bass for extra grit. You can even use a subtle band pass emphasis around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz for a more text-up edge, especially in the second half of a phrase. For a more authentic old-school flavor, keep the note pattern simple and let the automation do the talking. That's really the heart of this lesson. The bass doesn't need to be busy. It needs to feel alive. So here's the big takeaway. Build the bass in layers, keep the sub clean and mono, high pass the Reese, automate movement in phrases, and respect the snare lane. When the groove is right and the headroom stays intact, that old-school Reese hits with way more authority than a giant overloaded bass wall ever could. For your practice challenge, build one 8-bar loop with a drum groove, a 2-layer bass system, and a simple 3 to 5-note motif. Automate the cutoff so it opens in bars 3 and 4, and again in bars 7 and 8. Then resample one bar and compare it to the live synth version. If the loop feels like an actual DNB drop, not just a synth part, you're doing it right. That's the sound. Controlled, dark, rolling, and ready to move the room.